T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are WZGC Atlanta.
Goes for goal! Scores!
And WZGC HD1, an Entercom communication station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. By the way, the Braves game today is a 1:05 start. So we got bailed out on that.
Yeah, so no conflict. No conflict at all.
With football, and no conflict with the real estate maven. I can watch the game this afternoon. And
so you can watch it on your couch. You can actually watch it on your couch.
You can watch the latest, The Affair or whatever it is she's watching. One of those shows. Beats hell out of me. I don't know what. You watch different shows than I do.
You didn't have to sit there and watch it with her?
No.
Good man.
No, I don't, you know, she's got like her, we've got our shows, her shows, and my shows, okay? Like, I've got, of course, they canceled Colony, which makes me not happy, but The Last Ship is coming back.
Was that good?
Yeah,
that good?
I liked it, good. And I wanted another season of it. It finally started, I invested the first couple of years going, okay, when's this going to get good? And by year three, it got good.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Well, I was intrigued by it, but it just took too long to build.
I tried to watch the first episode. I didn't understand, and I left. I couldn't do it. And you gave it 2 years? Good man.
Well, and
good
then but the third year paid off. I mean, because the third year it got really good. And then they canceled it. It's like, oh, come on. But The Last Ship is coming back, I think, this month. And so I'll be, you know, that's one of my.
I have an old teammate of mine that he's on The Last Ship. I think he's one of the security guys. He's on the show. He's been on the show since the beginning.
What's his name? Do you know?
LaMonica Garrett.
Oh, all right. I'll look him up. I'll see which cast member he is. I'll look it up and see which one he is. All right. So anyway, neither here nor there. We got a lot going on. Braves play this afternoon, trying to take 3 out of 4 from the Washington Nationals again at 1 o'clock. First pitch here. Of course it is. It's a getaway day. Duh. But the Falcons get ready for tomorrow night and their game against the New York Jets. Now, there's a lot of little storylines that are going on in and around the game. It's not a surprise. Like, I'll give you one, for example. We mentioned that the media has been gushing about Sam Darnold, the number 3 pick, and maybe rightfully so. Look, you know, of course, we haven't even seen Baker Mayfield play or Sam Darnold play, but there are still people who think that the Jets got really lucky, and we're going to look back in 10 years, Hugh, and say, how lucky were the New York Jets that the Cleveland Browns took Baker Mayfield and let Sam Darnold fall to the Jets? That's what people seem to think. Well, we haven't seen either of them play in the NFL, though. But apparently, according to the reports up in New York, reading up there, the fans are – that's the number one thing that they're most excited about, and they are all hoping that Sam Darnold beats out Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. They are really hoping that happens. For my money, the whole concept – and I mean, by the way, when you invest that kind of money into whatever they paid Sam Darnold, odds are he's going to be the starter at some point this season. Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know. I mean, that's why it's going to be interesting to see what Teddy, because Teddy's going to get a lot of playing time tomorrow night.
Yeah. You know, I was just looking at the breakdown from Rich Samini, and he was talking about the playing time from yesterday's practice. He said, you know, Josh McCown got most of the reps. Well, he got 6 reps. Teddy Bridgewater took 18 reps, 9 with the first team, and Sam Darnold took 26 reps. 8 with the first team. So the way that's breaking down, they're going to take probably a long, hard look at Sam Darnold. They're probably going to take a long, hard look at him. He's going to be the guy that, you know, you're going to get out there. You're just going to see how he commands the offense.
Yeah, and I don't blame Todd Bowles, considering the state of the franchise. If you're not so much – if you think you've got enough protection, you're not throwing him to the Wolves, then just start him day one. I mean, just go ahead.
You don't appear, like, if he's ready to go. I haven't seen him in practice. But from what you hear people say, they really like what they see from him so far. But practice is different than a game, and some guys respond differently. I remember when Bobby Hoying took over the helm of the Eagles the first year I was there. Looked great in practice. He looked so great in practice that they offered him a $25 million contract.
Right,
and he was like, "Nah, I need more bread than that. And when the season started, it went all downhill for him. It was all downhill. I remember hearing guys say that he was in a huddle talking about, "Hey guys, could you just protect me a little bit better?" And I'm like, "Wow, yeah." He was shook. He was shell shocked. Wow. And this coming off a season where John Gruden was there, and he looked like he was the hardest thing since frozen food. So, it's different when you get in the game and they're actually game planning for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always say with quarterbacks, four games into the season, you know what you got.
Well, I guess I look at it this way. I mean, yeah, whether they start Darnold or McCown, those are going to be your two quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater is a great story, but you can't really keep Darnold and Bridgewater, I don't think. Maybe you could. Maybe Teddy shows out so much you could. But at this point, I think what you're doing is showcasing Teddy. And if Teddy plays well in the preseason, this is why preseason does count for some guys. Obviously, it counts for a lot of players. But for Teddy Bridgewater, what this preseason means is if he plays well, he's going to get a job somewhere.
Yeah. He's going to get a shot. The one thing about quarterbacks in the NFL, they get recycled a lot. They get recycled way more than coaches do. So if he goes out there and he shows that he can play and he's fully recovered from that knee injury that he had, he's going to get a shot to play somewhere.
It is a morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios talking about the Falcons. Again, Falcons Friday tomorrow night as they take on the New York Jets. Falcons will leave out today as they get ready for the game tomorrow night. Our coverage begins with a pregame show on Friday at 5:30. And then the kick at 7:30 with Wes, Dave, and John Michaels from MetLife Stadium. All right, Dan Quinn talking yesterday, head coach of the Falcons, of course, talking about his rookies and what he expects to see from these rookies in this game tomorrow night, because this will be the debut of guys like Calvin Ridley and Deidrin Sinat.
One of the things that we're really committed to is playing, you know, the rookies and the first-year guys. And I think if you look back on our history, our play time for the preseason would show that. It's such an important time to evaluate. We wouldn't put them in if we didn't think they'd earn some play time here during mini camps and training camp to get ready. So we're totally committed to playing those guys and seeing what they look like.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I mean, isn't that the point of this? I mean, to see the new guys that are in there. I mean, yeah, we want to watch the position battles, and as much as you can watch a battle at right guard, it's not the easiest thing to do on TV.
Oh, yeah, it is. Just watch and see who getting beat down and if the quarterback's running for his life. And to see whose man is that? If somebody's out there throwing lookout blocks, look out! My bad. And they come back to the other talking about, my bad, dog. Picking your quarterback up off his back.
Yeah.
That's how you know when somebody's getting out there getting beat like a drum. I don't think it's going to happen like that for the Falcons. I don't think so. But it's a possibility that it can. Because it's not like there's going to be a whole lot of scam protection or game planning for the Jets. It's one on one. It's mano a mano. So you'll definitely see, if you're watching John, you'll see it because it'll happen fast because everybody's blocking their guy. It's not like you're fan protecting or you're scam protecting anything like that. You're blocking mano a mano. One on one. That's one on one for y'all.
And, of course, we'll see Calvin Ridley. I'm excited to see Calvin out there.
Now, that's going to be exciting. That's going to be exciting to see if he's going to be able to take the top off the defense like we anticipate him to do. And he's going to get a lot of opportunities to do that. I'm pretty sure that even though he's in rotation with the ones, that he's probably going to play a lot because he's a rookie.
And I'm excited to see all the rookies. I mean, Oluwakin, the young linebacker that everybody says we're overlooking. We're talking about Ito Smith and Deidrin Sinat.
Duke Riley.
And Foye Oluwakin, who is the seventh-round pick out of Yale, they say that at linebacker he has he's performing. So we'll see, because we're going to get a big dose of those guys, the Russell Gages and those guys of the world, tomorrow during the game against the Jets. Also from Coach Quinn yesterday, what else he wants to see in this preseason opener?
I want to make sure that we make the ball the priority. It's such a big emphasis for us. And then past that, we are really looking to see, you know, where our CT grades come out on some of the new players. And can they play in a style and fashion that we really want to?
Yeah, so it's going to be treated like a regular season game because that's the only way you can do it. Even though you're not going to play those coverages or any of the exotics, as you talk about, to use your word, Hugh. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to kind of the fundamental Falcons football, if you can't play fundamental Falcons football and be about the ball and tackle properly, and of course that's another thing to keep in mind as we watch tonight, how's the helmet rule going to be? But if you can't tackle properly, if you can't be about the ball, if you can't do what your assignment is supposed to be, and the more you can do and all that kind of stuff that Dan Quinn preaches, then that's a problem. Forget about how you're going to do when it all starts going for real. This is the This is the dress rehearsal.
Yeah, but you but there's fundamental things that you take from this preseason. Who's playing fast and who's being physical, and who's basically running what you're who's doing what you're telling them to do out there on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a game where, especially for the defensive players, I think you know you just cut it loose. I mean, this is the one time that you get to just cut it loose, go out there and do what got you to this level. Just go out there and play. And then, you know, you see who wants it, who's out there being tenacious, who's out there hustling, who's out there not giving up. If you got all that, you got all that, you can work with that. And that's what Coach Quinn is looking for. He's looking for those guys.
All right, Deion Jones. Well, let's not forget about the veterans. We're going to get limited time, of course, tomorrow night. But Deion talking yesterday about the fact that he's anxious to get on the field and that even with a limited amount of snaps that he's going to get, he's still going to treat this the same way.
I still prepare like it's a game, still go through my same routine just to make sure that I'm on everything for when the season starts. There's nothing new, and I'm good with my timing and making sure everything still runs and the way it's supposed to.
And Hugh, is that important for veteran players who have a routine during the regular season to go ahead and treat this, even though you say, okay, listen, guys, you're going to get, 8 to 10 snaps max and you're going to be off the field, to still go through all of those, whatever it is that's your game day ritual?
Yeah, I think so, because you're getting tuned up for the season. I know for me personally, I looked at the preseason like this. You're only going to go out there for a couple of snaps. So the first couple of snaps that I'm going to get, John, I'm just trying to work the technique, a certain technique. I might go out there and say if Coach Brace will say, hey, what are you going to work on out there in these six snaps? I'm going to try to do the spin move. Okay, fine, work on that. Because you're only getting a certain amount of reps. You're only getting so many, a handful of plays.
Mm-hmm, right.
So you go out there and you try to work something that you probably wouldn't work in a regular game. Like some guards might go out there and they might want to work the one-hand stab, you know, trying to stab somebody and then placing two hands. It all depends on what you want to do. But you know that in that short period of time that you're out there, that you only have so many plays that you're going to get. So you might want to work a little bit of technique in that sense. When you start playing more games, that's when you start to kind of ramp up a little bit. That's why I always say in the third preseason game, that's when I really want to get a sack. I want to get a sack or as close to the quarterback as I possibly can, like with the ball in his hand, which would translate into a sack. So, yeah, I definitely want to get the season started, yeah, with a sack. I got to get one. I got to get one. Got to get one in the preseason. If y'all don't get one in the preseason, I don't feel right. I wouldn't feel right. So, yeah, that's what I would try to do.
And does it really matter if the Falcons win this game tomorrow night? Last year they went 0-4 in the preseason, and, of course, we all know if they make a play, they end up in the NFC Championship game again. So does really results matter? We're asking you on our Vision Computer poll this morning on our Twitter, at 929TheGame. We get NFL preseason football tonight, Friday and Saturday. So, Falcons fans, we're asking you, does winning in the preseason matter to you? You can say yes, you got to win at least one. Yes, 2-2 or better, or no, it doesn't count. Right now, 71% are saying no, it doesn't matter, it doesn't count. 16% say you got to win one, and 13% say you got to be 2-2 or better. You can vote on our Twitter at 929TheGame. We're also talking to you on our Facebook, 929TheGame on Facebook. But yeah, I think for the most part, no, it doesn't count. It's probably going to win. Yet at the same time, it is nice to win a game in the preseason, only because it's nice. I mean, I don't know. I just want the Falcons to win a game.
Yeah, I don't expect too much from the first one, though, because, you know, in the first game, John, you're going to play most of the youngins. The youngins are going to play. One guy that I'll probably be looking at because he's probably going to be out on the field a lot as a starter and a backup is Duke Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get a lot of clock. He's going to get a lot of clock tomorrow night. He's going to get a lot of clock tomorrow night.
And by the way, the Falcons' first preseason game at home, which is a week from tomorrow against the Chiefs, then the big one is the third week. And the third week this year is a good test. They're playing the Jaguars. And they're playing the Jaguars in Jacksonville.
A really good defense.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of a good test. All right, it's a good test for you right now. If you want to win some money, your chance right now to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
PACE, P-A-C-E, PACE. To 72881, PACE to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. PACE, P-A-C-E, to 72881.
I saw Orlando Pace at the airport the other day.
Mm-hmm. You know,
It's spelled the same way. Yeah. It's just that it's his last name.
I think of Payson.
That's
I think
all
of,
I got.
I think of that commercial. New York City.
Pace Picante sauce. Pace.
You know, you tell it to, hey, Junior, take that lumber and paste that thing together, okay? You know.
Pick up the pace.
Are you reliving the Peachtree Road Race?
Was that? Me? Nah. I walked the whole, damn near the whole race.
Did you race walk?
I race walked. I ran walk. That's how I always run. I run walk.
Pick up the pace. Pace to 72881. Pace to 72881.
Pace.
All right, so you can win $1,000. There is another little story, a little element to the to this game, and that is Jamal Adams, who burst on the scene last year as one of the stars of the Jets in a 5-1 season, comes out in an interview with Bleacher Report, and the Jets safety says this, Hugh. Talking about the Jets, everybody was used to losing. You could always tell that vibe. I came in to be with the team, and it was like everybody wanted to do the bare minimum. They didn't want to go above and beyond. They didn't want to take the extra step. They didn't want to be uncomfortable. But to be great, you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to sacrifice, willing to do the little things. And the team, the organization, just wasn't willing to do those things. Ouch. That's a blast. The team and the organization, you're going to blast them the day, a couple of days before your first preseason game. How's that going to go over in the locker room?
This is the new norm, John. It really is. I'm surprised because you always have concerns, especially when it comes to a team that does not perform well during the regular season. But those are conversations that you have in-house. Nobody likes to be called out. I, you know, you've been on this other side for a while. Nobody likes to sit in the office and hear how bad you are. You know, every time you talk, you want to come from a place of being positive first. I think that's the first rule in being like a manager, ain't it? That's like one of the first things. But it's been the norm. He's so funny. It's been the norm that, like, normally when you have meetings and things, this always starts out negative. But you keep that in-house, man. Keep that in-house. Why everybody laughing? Keep that in-house. You got to keep all of that stuff in-house. And I don't think that this is for public consumption. But players nowadays, they're doing that a lot. They're doing that a lot. It's a family unit, man, and it should be treated as such. You know, you don't call out your uncle. You don't call out your drunk Uncle Leroy at the barbecue around folks that you don't know.
Are the Jets players going to be going up to Jamal and saying, what the
heck? No, they're
hey,
not, but
they're
going to be like, dang, bro. No, what he's done, John, he's put himself under a microscope because just like Jarvis Landry did the other night, when he, you know, he had his profanity-laden tirade, you are expected to be a leader. Like, now you have to lead by example. You know, all that lip service, oh, that's one thing, but now you got to go out there and lead on the field. So he's going to be looked at to be one of the leaders on the field. But calling your teammates out, that's not the way you do it. I don't think that's the way you handle that.
Yeah, and with the Jets, with this, you know, franchise that really hasn't had much success for a long time, you know, maybe this is the kick in the butt they need. That's the other part of this. You know, maybe that's not a bad thing for an organization that is Hugh, when was the last time the Jets were really any good?
When is the last time you've ever known anybody be motivated through negativity?
Well, probably so. I mean, now, I mean,
you suck. You stink. Go out there and do your job. That's not the way you reach
people. Don't you be telling the truth now. Don't you be out there telling the truth to people.
You stink. Go out there and do your job.
You can vote on our Twitter poll. Does it matter if the Falcons win in the preseason? It's on our Twitter, at 929 The Game. And when you vote, always jump into the fray and chat with us as well. All the greatest and latest content leading to the game, interviews, sound, and more, you can find it right now on our Falcons tab on our website at 929thegame.com. When we get back, what you do, a little bit of what to watch for and some of the big NFL news in a big NFL night tonight. Who's playing? Feel it in the air, can't you? Oh, you can. Of course you can.
Oh, my gosh. It's football.
It's not just football. It's the National Football League.
Did you get chips and dip? Are you chipped and dipped out tonight? Are you going all in tonight, John Freaky?
You know, no, probably not. No, I probably won't go all in. Not tonight. Not on a Thursday night. But, I mean, I get people are, even though it is drinking night.
Are you going to have like a kicking off? Is somebody out there going to have a kicking off the football season party tonight? If you are, just tweet us at 92.9
Yeah, I guess you could. I mean, I guess if you're a fan of a team that's great, that's great.
And if your team is playing tonight, are you just doing anything special? Are you going to any special watering hole to watch the game tonight or whatever? I mean, what are you doing tonight?
Well, you may have to if you don't have Sunday ticket, because the only two games that are on national TV tonight are the Browns and Giants and the Cowboys and Niners. That's the doubleheader on the NFL Network. Browns, Giants, Cowboys, Niners.
So you have to go to like your favorite watering hole.
You would have to if you don't have DirecTV, right? Or you don't have that Sunday ticket.
There's some good NFL bars around here to watch the game. But no, I'm not about to do all that. Got to get up way too early for that. So I'm going to watch one of those. If the first one is the Browns and the Giants that come on at 7 o'clock. That's the one I'm going to tune in for, because I probably won't make the second.
Yeah,
because
you've been to like an Eagles bar around here, haven't you?
Yeah. Rocky Mountain Pizza. Rocky Mountain Pizza.
Yeah, because every team, you know, the Eagles have a bar.
The Bears.
The Bears have a bar. The Chiefs have a bar. The Saints have a commissary. I mean, everybody's got something, right?
Commissary. You like that? I like how you did that. You got to work that shot in. You work that shot in. Commissary.
All right, guess who's debuting tonight? Josh Allen. You know, much ballyhooed Wyoming quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb. Oh, this is why you go, wait a minute. NFL Network, of course they're showing the New York team. I mean, the two worst teams in the NFL are meeting last year. Why not show them? Well, because those two worst teams, the Browns and the Giants, happen to have Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, all of those guys debuting tonight. So, yeah, there's a lot of interest. I mean, really, if you think about it, what would be, if you had no dog in the hunt, what's the game tonight? Browns and Giants,
yeah,
right?
All day. You want to see Odell Beckham Jr.? You want to see Saquon Barkley do his thing? You want to see if, well, you're not going to see Eli that much, but you just want to see how he looks with his new toys. Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley. And for me, I really want to see the Browns, man. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to Hughes World to talk about this Browns Hard Knock segment. I mean, it was something to behold, John Fricke. It's something to behold.
Well, I mean, and again, you know, they become, here's where, you know, I was kind of knocking Hard Knocks the other day and saying, well, you know, there's a curse on Hard Knocks, but you can't really curse the Browns because, you know, 0-16, 1-31 in the last 2 years. Can't really be too cursed, can you? But you know what? It kind of occurs to me, you know, just listening to some of the cuts that we have from that, you know what? They may make this team the darling team of the country. I mean, they'll be
a lot of people feel like the Browns are going to be a pretty good team this year. They're thinking like 8-8, 9-7, 8-8. That's a huge jump. That's a huge jump. And if they're able to do that, that would be pretty impressive.
I hope not too much, because the Falcons have to play them.
That's
in
what
week
I was.
10.
You knew what I was about to say. You know what I was about. I was going there because, like, when they picked the Browns to beat the Falcons. I still don't see it. I don't see it, but when you have all that optimism, you know, this is the NFL, and anything can happen. But I still don't see the Browns. I do not see the Browns.
Well, you know, I know you
the
don't.
The Atlanta Falcons.
How many times have we seen it? Last year, you said.
Yeah, we said the same thing about Buffalo and Miami.
Miami.
Huh?
You're at 17-0 on Miami at halftime and lose the game at home.
And you get to see Jarvis Landry again. Bum, bum, bum.
There are a lot of guys playing tonight that aren't just rookies, and I know a lot of focus will be on those rookies like Mayfield and Allen, and of course Sam Darnold tomorrow in the game against the Falcons, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a lot of the returning guys, too, who are going to get a lot of – well, I guess Lamar Jackson is playing tonight, too, so another rookie. But how much is Jameis going to play? I mean, Fitzpatrick is going to start for Tampa Bay tonight, and then Andrew Luck returns for the first time in a year and a half. We're going to see Andrew Luck on a football field.
And you're going to treat Andrew Luck like you would treat any other starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
6 to 10 plays. 6 to 10 plays. You're not going to overload him in the first preseason game. I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be chomping at the bit as far as how much he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to overload that cat. You're going to let him play 6 to 10 plays, do what they normally do, and work him in slowly.
Right, coming off injury. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater. You know, back tomorrow night, and we'll see a good chunk of him in the Jets game.
I tell you what,
Deshaun Watson coming back.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Jets handle that situation with Teddy Bridgewater. You're talking about earlier him being potentially on the chopping block,
mm-hmm.
well, on the trading block, and how they're going to handle Sam Darnold. Because Josh McCown don't seem like he's going to get that many reps. Probably, 6 to 10. So it's going to be the bulk of the reps are going to be between Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold, and you're going to – Look, kinda I wonder how they're going to parcel those out.
I can't know. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater could have a great preseason, but I got to believe that the Jets are looking. If Sam Darnold isn't going to be their starter from the jump, he's going to be the starter by like week four. And Josh McCown is the security blanket. He's the veteran. You know, he's the healthy one. The last thing you want to do is cut Josh McCown and say, okay, we're going to roll with Teddy, and Teddy gets hurt again. And that's what everybody, even though the odds of Teddy getting hurt again may be equal to a healthy quarterback, the fact is once you've been hurt like that, people go, you know, I mean, that's the just natural human reaction, you know, natural concern.
Yeah, and it kind of puts you in, I know where you're going with that, John, because they've kind of put it out there by saying that, you know, he's on the trading block, that they're willing to move on from him.
And so that'll be another interesting. Also, another interesting thing tonight is, you know, the Eagles quarterback situation. They play against the Steelers at home, but Carson Wentz not going to play. We know that. And maybe Nick Foles doesn't play.
No, yeah. Nick Foles is going to play.
You know, with those back spasms and all
you
that.
You got to suck that up. You got to go ahead, you know, put some icy hot on that thing, and let's go play. You only going to be out there for six plays, dog. What you doing? Six plays.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play six? Six plays. 10 plays. Nobody's going to touch you.
Yeah.
And if they touch you, then you need to slap one of your offensive linemen for letting them touch you. Now you go out there. I'm pretty sure they say, hey, man, listen, you know, my back's still a little tight. Do your job. And that offensive line, Lane Johnson and those cats, they take pride. They took a lot of pride in protecting their quarterback and not letting him get hurt.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting night tonight. The Rams play at the Ravens. We mentioned Lamar Jackson. No Aaron Donald. The Rams are saying they're getting close. What was the term they used?
They're in the same zip code, area code.
Yeah.
They're in the same area code.
Well, okay. So they're getting closer. Les Snead, the GM of the Rams.
So what does that mean, though?
I don't know.
Does that mean quarterback money for Aaron Donald? And if that's the case, what does that mean for Grady Jarrett?
Aaron Donald's going to get paid, you.
No, I tell you. The Falcons are probably sitting back looking at that like, Lord, have mercy.
They already know what they got to pay, what the market's going to bear for Julio.
Yeah. But no, the biggest one, if Grady Jarrett gets Aaron Donald gets quarterback money, boy, Grady Jarrett's going to get paid. Like, he's going to get paid for potential, on potential alone, because he's been on the cusp of being a Pro Bowler the last two seasons, in my mind. So he's going to get paid.
The 49ers play the Cowboys. That is the second game. And if you're only going to watch the NFL Network tonight, of course, you know the whole thing about Dak Prescott hasn't thrown a touchdown and what that means in camp. I have no idea whether that means anything or not, but we'll see tonight. I mean, he'll get a few plays. But there's another little kind of side story to this game that if you're watching the game, I'm sure that the broadcast is going to make a big deal out of, because it's just kind of an interesting story. The Niners say they're going to honor the late Dwight Clark with a statue, and they ought to for the catch. And what they're going to do is they're going to have dual statues. You can imagine the statue of Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone with his hands kind of over his left shoulder up in the air, making a grab, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be one statue. And then they're going to have Joe Montana throwing the ball from the other side. But they're going to have it exactly the same distance as the actual play was, 23 yards away.
So are they putting that in front of the stadium? Is that the case? Because if that's the case, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I guess
that'd
be you'd really have to cool. put it in, yeah. Because I was about to say, you know, maybe you could put it, you know, kind of equidistant to where, oh, wait, new stadium. So it's not Candlestick Park, obviously.
Yeah.
So, they put it in front of the stadium, but it's going to be the same distance as the actual throw was.
That's pretty cool.
And so, you know, people will be out there, you know, some guy, you know, I've got a football, you got a football, we're all mimicking the play. I mean, if you're a 49ers fan.
Oh, no question about that. That's what it's there for. It's there for fans to enjoy that play over and over again, forever.
So that'll be another one of the interesting things. A dozen games tonight, a lot of focus on a lot of teams. There's some stories we haven't touched on. One of them is the Packers playing at home against the Titans. I mean, I don't really much care about this game because I'm not a fan of either team, but isn't it interesting to think about what would happen if the Packers go out there and their young wide receivers start dropping the balls all over the place early in the game with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to have – he's going to go, what's that song by Beyonce and Jay-Z, that Ape song? Yeah, he's going to go that. He's going to go crazy. Because he's already thrown his receivers under the bus. He's already gave them the business.
You say, you know, lack of effort, you know, you're not good. You know, they say we're soft. Yeah, well, you know, his receivers, that's kind of what he did. He kind of screamed at them.
I'm getting old and cratchety in my old age.
He did say he was getting old and grumpy, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah,
but still don't throw your teammates under the bus.
Yeah, but I still think that's the excuse for dating Danica. But that's not the point. So that's going to be another interesting one. And again, some of the, you know, stories that developed tonight. On other things that take place in the NFL. A dozen games tonight in the NFL beginning at 7. There's a whole host of games at 7 o'clock. Let's see, the Browns, Giants, Panthers, Bills, Bears, Bengals, Steelers, Eagles, Saints, Jaguars. Yeah, I said their name. Buccaneers, Dolphins, they're all 7 o'clock kicks tonight. And so maybe I'll, you know, because I do have, you know, the Sunday ticket thing, so I could check in and look around a little bit and see what teams look like. So, yeah, maybe I'll be doing, because I'll probably have all the games up, so I'll probably just go back and forth and back and forth, just check them out for a minute or two.
You know what the one that kind of had me kind of scratching my head? The Seattle Seahawks and Indianapolis Colts?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's two teams that are far apart for a preseason game. That's a lot of traveling for a preseason game.
Indianapolis, yeah, it's at Seattle, right?
Yeah, that's far.
Well, the Rams got to go play in Baltimore.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Is that the song?
Of course it's the song. That's D. It's what he does.
No, we can't play the words, though.
No.
That would be a no-no.
It is the Thursday before the Falcons Friday. Braves this afternoon at 1. A lot of big stories happening. That's why you have to keep it locked to 92.9 The Game. Wait till you hear what one... Wait till you hear this. This is why you got to be back in a moment. Well, one NFL player had to eat to put weight on to get up to weight this year. You know how guys always got to lose weight? This dude had to eat this to put weight on to get up to weight. And you're not going to believe what he had to eat. We have that story next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, 92.9thegame.com.
We have some real objectives in training camp.
Live training camp coverage here.
This year is different, and this team is different.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game and Ackerman Security are going to hook one lucky winner up with the Philadelphia Flyway with Hugh Douglas to kick off the football season from September 5th through the 7th. The Philly trip includes round-trip airfare for the winner and guest courtesy of Southwest Airlines, two-night hotel stay, and a $1,000 Visa gift card. Go to the contest page at 92.9thegame.com to register today. A $1,000 gift card. Oh, my gosh. And a flyaway with Hugh Douglas. Hey, that's me.
That's a pretty darn good prize, hey, Ackerman. Yeah, man,
listen, I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, Ackerman Security, you know, is on the real security. We were talking about this, going to Philadelphia, me going to Philadelphia with Falcons fans. Now, listen, I can't tell y'all what to do, whoever wins this contest, but just do me a favor.
Uh-huh.
Don't wear too much Falcons gear.
I was going to say, are you gonna wear your Eagles jacket on the plane?
Listen, I'm going to remain neutral
uh-huh.
in all endeavors.
Uh-huh.
Trust me on this.
Uh-huh.
Because when we went to the Hall of Fame, Eagle fans are rowdy, like for real. They're real rowdy,
mm-hmm.
and the alcohol gets in, you know, a little tasty beverages, adult beverages get involved. It gets a little, you know. I'm just saying, for your protection and mine, let's not go too over the top.
No. For your protection, for your protection.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because we didn't see the video of the Minnesota Vikings fans, you know, rolling through there, didn't we?
No, it should be fun. It should be fun, though. And we're going to go hang out at some Philadelphia haunts, you know. That I hang out at some places that I eat lunch at. Needless to say, they're Philadelphia places. So, well, Eagle Bar. So, you know, it's going to be fun, though. So make sure you go to 92.9thegame.com and register today because it's going to be a fun trip.
Yeah, and of course, that's coming up, knocking on the door here.
Yes, it is.
You know, just September 6th is going to happen fast. Meantime, you know, the players show up. Remember last year we were going through – if you're a Falcons fan, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. We're talking about Terry Poe and having to get all those bonuses every time he weighed in. When you were going to camp, did they ever tell you, Hugh, you had to either lose weight or gain weight?
The last year I was in the league, well, the second to the last year I was in the league, when I played at Jacksonville, I was supposed to be like 279. And I made my weight. But as far as like having a weight clause in my contract, no, I never had one of those.
Well, apparently Noah Spence, the former Ohio State star, the defensive end reported to Tampa Bay camp weighing 228 pounds.
Ooh, he's kind of light.
220. I mean, they're wide receivers are weight 228. All right, so he's a defensive end, right? He was lighter than Mike Evans, even a wide receiver. So they told Noah Spence he had to put on 35 pounds. 35. And so this is the diet that they put him on. Ready? All right, this is his diet. Meal 9 meals. Okay. Meal 1, 2 protein shakes. Each shake has 2 scoops of vegan protein powder, two scoops of peanut butter, a banana, and two scoops of sugar-free coconut milk ice cream. All right, that's meal number one, and there are two protein shakes. Meal two, breakfast. Pre-practice, cream of wheat, almond milk, brown sugar, three pieces of French toast, and two heaping scoops of potatoes. That's one. Meal three, post-practice, two protein shakes in the locker room. Just the same thing we have with the ice cream and the banana and the peanut butter, right? Then meal four at the facility, grilled chicken, broccoli, mashed cauliflower, two pieces of bread covered in sriracha ranch dressing. Meal five, pasta, ground turkey, peppers, onions, in sauce. Meal six, two more of those protein shakes. We're up to six of those every day. Six of those, think about that. And then meal seven, steak, shrimp, potatoes, zucchini, and squash. Meal eight, a snack of peanut butter and jelly with a glass of chocolate almond milk. And meal nine, right before bedtime, one more of those protein shakes. That's seven of these protein shakes. Each, again, has two scoops of protein powder, two scoops of peanut butter, a banana, two scoops of sugar-free coconut milk ice cream. You have to have seven of those every day.
I know what he's trying to do. That's a lot. But what does his workouts look like? I mean, because that's the biggest thing. And plus, he's out there running around all day. He's not going to be able to keep all that weight up there like that. Because with the protein shakes, John, I don't know what the exact amount is, but I know somebody out there is going to tell me. I think it's like 23. Your body is only going to take in so much protein during the course of the day, especially during one meal. And I think most protein shakes, the most you're going to get is like 20 to 25 grams of protein that your body's going to retain. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, it's only going to take what it's using and it's going to discard the rest. I think with him, he probably has a higher metabolism than most. And even though that he'll probably put this weight on, his metabolism running so high, he's going to burn that off. He's trying to build muscle, but it sounds like his body's metabolizing it at a higher rate than he can keep it on. Well, so he's far, not going
to
keep that.
According to the camp roster, because I just looked it up, he's put on 23 pounds.
Yeah, but he's not going to keep that, not the whole season.
Right.
Ike Reese was another guy who he used to have trouble keeping weight on. And Ike, to this day, he's about as big as he was when he played. Like, he's just – like, some guys are just not built to carry that kind of muscle.
Right.
And he's probably one of them. It's going to be a struggle. Even though he's eating like that, it's probably going to be a struggle for him to keep that weight on all season long.
Have they indicated – if this is something just temporarily he's going to have to do, or something he's going to have to do throughout the season?
I think
he'll probably have to eat like that
all year
to keep that weight. To keep that weight, he's going to have to eat like that all year. To keep that on, because it sounds like I don't know him. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of calories to take in for one
calories.
Day. Yeah, that's a lot of calories. That's a lot of protein shakes. I hope he's eating a lot of. I didn't hear a whole lot of vegetables in that. So he has to make sure, and I know somebody might think I'm trying to be funny, but I'm not. Like, constipation is a real thing, especially when you – seriously, AT, he's drinking like six protein shakes a day.
Seven, actually.
You know what I mean? And when they take – listen, dude, you want them pipes clogged, bruh, because, boy, I'm trying to tell you, with that protein, no, you better – he probably need to mix some more vegetable bowls in that thing, because I'm telling you.
A little bit of celery, a little bit of raw broccoli.
No, listen – like, even the meals that I eat, every meal for me, but I'm not trying to gain weight, but you're trying to maintain muscle, you have to eat vegetables. And if you're drinking those protein shakes, you have to eat vegetables. Because, man, them things will stop you up. Them things will stop you up for real. I see you, D. D been out there taking a protein shake, but I bet you better get them vegetables in. Better get them vegetables. I'm trying to tell you, man, you don't want to be clogged.
So if you go to the GNC, is that big thing of whey protein?
The whey protein. Yeah, it all depends. But in the store, you said he was eating vegan protein.
Right. This story, let me see here. Spence managed two scoops of vegan protein.
Yeah,
powder.
He's vegan. So I don't know anything about vegan protein, but and I'm assuming that with that, there must be some qualities in that vegan protein that he's not getting in like a whey or something else. But, he needs to take a lot of – maybe that's probably where he's getting his vegetables from. Maybe the vegan protein is helping him keep his system clean and operating at a
– Man, that's just an amazing amount of food. Right. Yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of food.
Those training tables for football, they're real, by the way. Most of the time, though, you see the guy walk up there – I used to in college when I was in Nebraska. I'd see the guy walk up there, the offensive lineman, and he'd get like three steaks, you know. And they would eat the bone and steaks like it was like it was a rib. They didn't use, there were no utensils. There was no knife and fork. You just take that steak like a rib and just, yeah, grab it by the bone and go.
Caveman style.
The NFL is tonight. Some of the storylines to focus in on. And what is Dan Quinn saying about the Falcons and the Jets ahead of tomorrow night's game? We'll hear from the coach as we continue next. Counting down to Falcons Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Very latest Falcons content always posted up at our website at 929thegame.com.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth running game time traffic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.